Hey, it's you, man, from KC95 here. Good evening and welcome to Toasted Tavern. Your host, Scott Tobin, and the man called Wags are ready to bring you the night in sports. So pull up a stool, grab a drink, and let's get toasted.
And good evening and welcome into the Toasted Tavern. And yes, it's Wags, but that's not Scott Tobin sitting next
to me. Yes, I am.
Oh, you are? Oh, you know, identity theft is not a joke, Jim. Okay? It's not a joke. I'm joined by Mason, Blues Fan Reacts, filling in for a little bit tonight as we are discussing a plethora of big-time potential moves that are coming to all of sports and mostly here in potentially St. Louis. Scott will be joining us a little bit later. He's coming back from work, so he'll be in for the second half of tonight's show, which is really going to be broken down into two big-time segments. And that's saying something considering we had a massive signing in the world of the NFL today as far as Kyler Murray and the Cardinals are concerned. That dropped a little while ago, as well as, you know, the uncertainty of NCAA football and the organization of all that. Like, all that stuff's being overshadowed by the two biggest stories in sports. And I know I say biggest stories in sports, and it's big here in St. Louis, but I think it's actually legitimately the two biggest stories in sports. You've got Juan Soto with the Washington Nationals being shopped around and that trade potentially coming on in the next week. And you've got the big one with Matthew Tkachuk and the Calgary Flames as well. And that's, Mason, where we're going to start. But before we get to that, I haven't seen you in a while. I got to ask, how are you doing? How are things for you? And are you more so just, you know, ready for this thing to be over with so the Blues season can start?
I don't know about that. I kind of like free agency and kind of the dull period in between games. It allows you to be more excited for the upcoming season, I guess. And it's always interesting when you have Doug Armstrong as your general manager because you never know what tricks he has up his sleeve. Is he going to fleece another Atlantic Division team? You just never know, right? So a lot of excitement to come out of that. Of course, Matthew Tkachuk. But I've been doing really well, actually. You know, taking a bit of a break from content, but you know, last couple months or so, I've been able to get on a couple shows. HockeyDB invited me on a Twitter space the other day, so that was pretty cool. I guess really where the story starts is 2 days ago on the last Toasted Tavern episode where, you know, I was fortunate enough to join chat. Luckily, wasn't busy. I was sick a little bit. I think I had the flu or something like that. But I was able to join the chat, messaged you right afterwards. I'm like, hey, when's the next show? And he's like, oh, great, Thursday. It's like, all right, sweet, I'll do that. And then I promptly forgot about it for the next 48 hours until like the last 2 hours or so here. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, I agreed to go on a show. Well, I guess I better get my stuff. And because I'm going into a new lease on an apartment, all my, like, microphone equipment is all, like, put together in boxes downstairs and shit. So I'm using a really old webcam, which is surprisingly better than my $200 webcam now that I'm looking at it, which kind of pisses me off. I got my shitty USB microphone that Wags and I were shitting about, you know, earlier in the pre-chat here. So, yeah, luckily got to drag a few of those things up. Got my ring light. And luckily I was able to sit down about 4 minutes before we started this live stream. So yeah, things are going excellent in that regard, I suppose.
It's never about the pre-show stuff. It's always about how you look on it. They don't care. It's like how hot dogs are made. You don't want to see how it's made. You just want to view the finished product, enjoy the finished product. And that's what we're all doing right now. We're showing you the finished product, and it's going to be phenomenal because of just so much stuff that's going on. I mean,
absolutely.
Matthew Tkachuk, is this real? Like, we've been pining for it, him and Brady. It's been in St. Louis fans' minds for the last couple of years, really ever since they've been drafted, that, hey, they're coming home. We're going to bring them home. They're going to be here. But now it legitimately seems like there's a potential. I'm not going to sit there and say it's 60, 70, 80, 90% or anything like that, because there's a bunch of other teams interested. Money has to work. Players have to work. Lots of stuff has to go on. But this is legitimately something that could potentially happen. Are you getting a little bit more excited or worried about what's going on right now? Because there's some worry there, too.
Well, the only worry I'm kind of getting is if we don't get a deal done, because I want Matt Tkachuk in St. Louis so goddamn bad. I think that Matt Tkachuk wants to be in St. Louis. So it's really, like you said, it's just a matter of making that money work. But you got to understand, there's hundreds of trade proposals that are like on the internet that, you know, everybody has different, you know, takes on whether they're, you know, good, deals or bad deals or whatever. It really depends. But the really big thing that people need to worry about, well, they need to understand this real quick, is a lot of those trade proposals, if you want something more realistic, you're going to hate the trade proposal, right? Because you're going to have to get it. You're not just going to be able to say, okay, Calgary, give me Matt Tkachuk. You can have Scandella and a third round pick, right? You know, that's what Blues fans want, obviously.
It is Doug Armstrong, though.
It is Doug Armstrong. You never know. We got Pavlovich Stamets for a second to play. Nothing makes sense anymore. But the other thing you need to, you know, people need to kind of understand is if you're the Calgary Flames, you're not just talking to the St. Louis Blues, right? You're talking to realistically three or four other teams. I think there was a list of like five teams that came out from one of the Flames insiders or something like that. You know, there are a lot of teams that realistically are going to be in on this conversation, but really, if you're the general manager, you're listening to every team, right? So not only does the Blues offer have to, you know, be warranted of discussions and make, you know, Brad Treveling not hang up the phone on him, right? But you got to make a deal that beats the other 31 teams, right? Or 30 teams. So that's something the Blues fans need to worry. It is going to suck. Like, at first, the trade's going to suck when you think about it, because it's like, oh, you're giving up this piece and this piece. And I actually want to pull something up real quick. I'm going to show you exactly how shit my luck is. So I want you to name a couple players that have been in that discussion. Just one. Start with one.
Oh, well, Jordan Kyrou, right off the bat. You've got a Jordan Kyrou jersey. Okay. Let's see. You got a Torrey Krug. Oh, he's reaching for the Torrey Krug. Okay, you got that. Tarasenko? Oh, there's a Tarasenko. And this is not pre-planned, people. These are just names that are pulling. They're being pulled out of the air. All right, what's the last one?
Marco Scandella is a big one as well. Right?
At least that's a Sabres jersey.
I don't, right. I don't really have. I've even heard O'Reilly in those conversations. Yeah, like, there's a couple of. I don't think that's going to happen. But that's something that has been, you know, kind of brought up. You know, that's how, like, everybody knows the jersey curse, right? Everybody who knows sports, the second you get a jersey, I bought that Torrey Krug jersey specifically because he had a no trade clause. And I was like, there's no way he's going to trade it after this. This is what I bought in Enterprise Center, which I'm pretty sure was the last time that me and you spoke, actually.
Yeah, I think it was.
Was at Enterprise Center. I think it was it the Calgary game or the Winnipeg game? I think it was the Calgary game.
But, honestly, Matthew Tkachuk was playing in that one.
I bought that jersey that day at Enterprise Center. I bought it because, okay, one, I needed to get a jersey from Enterprise Center, right, while I was in St. Louis. But the other thing was that he's here for 7 years and he's on a no-trade clause, so there's no way he's getting traded. Let's see, we're in July right now. That is six months.
Yeah.
6 months after I got that jersey, knowing there's no way he's getting traded. And here we are having discussions about a potential salary retained transaction to get Krug off the books, which just doesn't make any sense to me, but whatever.
Well, you got to think, you know, Scott Perunovich is essentially the younger version of Torrey Krug. And I think that's what the main impetus behind that would be that you got to see what Perunovich could do in the playoffs, and they hadn't seen that up until that point because he'd been injured and lost a year due to the pandemic and all that stuff. So the fact that they were able to see that, it did open up the possibility for a guy like Krug to be traded. The likelihood of it happening, though, is very, very low, because I don't see Calgary taking him. I was one of those that proposed Krug being a part of a deal to get a Matthew Tkachuk. I just don't see it being something that they want, because if you read everything that's out there, it's, you know, one top prospect, one NHL-ready or NHL-type player right now, a high draft pick, and maybe something else that's going to take it. And it's not – the defenseman is not in that conversation, which I still think that the Flames need a defenseman, but that's neither here nor there. And, yeah, the jersey curse is absolutely 100% real, because I don't buy name jerseys very often. For me, it's usually just a blank jersey, because I know anybody can be traded at any point in time, regardless of NTCs or what have you. The only thing that you can't really mess around with is a no movement clause, which is why Pietrangelo is not here. Whole different story. I bought a Robert Thomas jersey a couple of years ago, a clown jersey, and everybody was, when we were going through the process, I'm like, who do I want to get on this jersey? And this is well before he really broke out and signed the big deal and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I bought it and I go, man, this is an awful risk, because I'm like you. Once you buy a jersey with a name on it, that guy's time is limited. And the day he signed that contract, I was like, hallelujah. I got it for at least another year or two. Thankfully, my middle name is Thomas. So at least I could say, hey, I'm just going by my middle name. If he does get
true,
traded,
that's true.
Different story right there. But we got to get back to this Tkachuk thing. And you have you talked about the deals that have kind of been pushed out there as far as what it would take. And there's a lot of different pieces that go into this as well, because it's not also about what you're giving up, but it's also who you're giving up and how the money is going to work.
Yeah.
From everything I've read, it doesn't sound like Vladimir Tarasenko is a guy that would be going to Calgary in a deal like this, even though it would make a little bit of sense for Calgary and for the Blues. So can this happen without them having already shed Tarasenko and his salary, or do you have to wait for that domino to fall before this deal can even take place? And with the fact that this deal is rapidly coming to a head, does Armstrong already have something in place for Vladimir Tarasenko?
Well, that's just the point I was about to make, was that, you know, being able to acquire Matthew Tkachuk and then not having to immediately, you know, get rid of Tarasenko, that's not a mutually exclusive thing. There's nothing stopping. When does the season start? Early September, something like that. Early September is when the season, or late September or something like that. But
I got the schedule right here. Opening night is October 15th. So
October 15th plus the preseason, plus training camp, that kind of thing.
You
kind of
29th,
You kind of want a deal done by then. That's how long Doug Armstrong has to get Matthew Tkachuk and unload Tarasenko. That is a lot of time to do that kind of thing. If Tarasenko doesn't want to go to the Flames, which I doubt he does, fine. Whatever. I don't care. Teams are allowed to go over the salary cap in the offseason. It's just opening night roster has to be cap compliant. That's all that really matters here. So Doug Armstrong has, it's July, beginning of August. He's got 2 months to make a deal with Tarasenko after this Tkachuk thing, assuming that deal gets done within the week, which is a whole nother thing, because it seems like, you know, Flames insiders and Blues, like insiders around the league, are usually on the same page. There have been like rumored deals involving, apparently there's a rumored deal like up to like 2 months ago or something like that, that involved, I think it was Krug, a first round pick, one other player in there.
I believe it was Kyrou Krug and a first.
Kyrou, yes, it was Kyrou Krug and a first. That's right. Why blanking on that? Flames insiders are saying, yeah, that was a potential deal, and then Andy Strickland and Jeremy Rutherford were asked about it, and they're like, I don't remember a deal like that ever being first. So it's like, insiders aren't even on the same page here, so you got to kind of take everything. It's that article that came out yesterday, I think it was yesterday, where it was Haley Steinfeld and Jeremy Rutherford. They said, okay, here are the five names that Tkachuk's camp gave to Treveling. And then the Flames insiders are like, I'm not sure what you're talking about. So it's like nobody seems to be on the same page about this kind of thing. The one thing that everyone can agree on is that St. Louis was the preferred destination, and I think that's all we really got to focus on. It's going to suck. The trade is going to suck at first, but you know, if you're getting a player like Matt Tkachuk, you can also, you're probably going to be saving salary cap space by getting Tkachuk. I can almost guarantee it, especially considering there's a Tarasenko move to be made. There's rumors of a Scandella move being made. That's a lot of salary you're offloading, and especially Kyra's future deal, which is going to be around the same, maybe slightly less than Robert Thomas's deal. You know, if he's here, that's the truth. That's the trick. So that also saves you from having to, you know, go through that whole contract debacle, which has been my biggest worry for, you know, the last two seasons, because it was Tarasenko's, it was O'Reilly's, it was Kyrou's, and it was Thomas's deals that were all expiring in the same year. Those are four very core pieces. And if you can get value for them now before those contracts and contract extension starts to bite you in the ass, then it's obviously a good thing. And it gives you more wriggle room to re-sign your captain, which the Blues are notoriously bad at. So,
well, that actually brings up a really big point, because you said earlier that, you know, a guy like Ryan O'Reilly, his name has been bandied about a little bit as far as a potential trade piece. The main reason behind that, he does not have a no trade or no movement clause, which means he can be traded at any point in time. And it really kind of brought up a really interesting piece in my mind. As you're sitting here at this point in time, Ryan O'Reilly, your captain, 31 years old, $7.5 million that's going to be doled out to him this year, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. Okay, so let's keep that right there. Tarasenko is going to be gone one way or the other. It's either a trade this year or he's going to walk in free agency. That's
awesome. We said that last year, but yes.
No, we said it was potential. I never said he was gone. I never said he was gone. And I actually,
I'm guilty as charged. I thought he was gone.
I think a lot of people did think he was gone, though. I mean, that's really what it was. You've got the Jordan Kyrou. He's a restricted free agent, arbitration eligible. So there's a little wiggle room there. Barbashev, and really, that's about it. That's coming off the books. Next year, you've got a ton of defensemen that are signed, and that's another piece that you had to worry about. But I kind of want to backtrack. So you've got O'Reilly up there, okay? He's the big need when it comes to re-signing a guy. Who's to say they're going to re-sign him? He's going to be 31, 32 years old going into the into his next contract. Yes, Captain Heart and Soul this team, but we saw this year how much of a step he's lost. And I'm not saying it's a step that's detrimental. He's still a high-level, high-quality player. But now he
is when your level is here and the average player is here, you take a step down. You're still better than the average.
But not where you were at. So it once again begs the question. This team has seen plenty of third-line captains making a good amount of money for this team. Are they going to do that? If you bring in a Matthew Tkachuk, does that signify, okay, you know what? This is O'Reilly's last year. Tkachuk's here. He's already an alternate in Calgary. Why not bring him in? He's your captain next year. And then
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that. That would be so good.
It's right there. So not only do you take the O'Reilly contract off, you take the Tarasenko contract off. Jordan Kyrou is very likely going to be dealt, so you're not paying. So all of a sudden, the four contracts that you were worried about, the only one that had to happen was Robert Thomas. It's already done. Now, granted, you're taking off a lot of talent and a lot of goal scoring, but you still got the Braden Schenn, the Pavel Buchnevich, who, yes, maybe not exceeded expectations, but was still pretty damn good last year. Brandon Saad's still with you for a couple of years. You've got the up-and-coming guys like an Alexei Toropchenko. You've got other guys down in the minors as well that can come up and maybe make an impact. So it's not entirely detrimental for this team to go out and trade a couple guys to bring in a guy like Tkachuk. Allow guy like Ryan O'Reilly to possibly walk, or maybe he comes back on a very team-friendly deal. Maybe he sees what's going on, and he seems like a guy that could do that and say, hey, look, I'm not going to take 7.5. You bring me in at 4, 4.5. I'll play third-line center, continue to mentor Robert Thomas, bring up a Jake Neighbors or a Zachary Boldick, and there we go. So there's some wiggle room right there. Yeah. But a lot of that comes down to, and it's a big key piece, is can you deal for Matthew Tkachuk without giving up a Jake Neighbors and or a Zachary Boldick? If you can do that, I think that is 100% the win. If you can get him, if you can get Tkachuk, keep Neighbors and Boldick, yes, you may have to trade a Jordan Kyrou. All of a sudden, I think this team is better than it could be.
Absolutely. That's what I think a lot of Blues fans are kind of hung up on, is a Matthew Tkachuk trade. Oh, you're going to be giving away so many assets that are going to affect this team. Okay, let's break it down. You know, so let's say Jordan Kyrou gets traded for Matthew Tkachuk plus like a couple other players. Like, let's say that Kyrou's one of the pieces gone. Okay, Kachuk's about the same age, year older. Oh, well, he's better than Kyrou. I love Kyrou to death. I absolutely do. I'm like the Speed Demon's elite guy. I'm that guy. I love the guy to death.
Go get a Calgary jersey.
And my Kyrou jersey, you know, it's in my Twitter profile picture.
You'll get a Calgary jersey too.
I mean, exactly. I love the guy. I absolutely will get a Kyrou Calgary jersey. It's absolutely nothing stopping me there. But you got to understand, this is Matthew Tkachuk we're talking about. This would be the biggest. I know Wayne Gretzky and all that.
No, this would be the biggest trade.
This would be the biggest trade in Blues history. Not even close. Right. And you're not even giving up a bunch of assets. Will you have to give up a first round pick? Definitely. Maybe two. Sure. If it saves you having to get rid of a prospect, fine. First round pick. I don't care. Maybe throw in another second as a sweetener. I really won't care. That's not going to affect the team right now. That's the big thing. You might have to deal a guy like Perunovic. He's had injury concerns the last, what, you know, two, three seasons or so, especially in the minors. He came off that knee surgery, and then he came off that shoulder surgery, right? He's had injury issues. He's a good player, but you can't help but think that this is going to affect his upside, right? He's no longer the Blues' top prospect, right? He's a good guy. I mean, I hope he stays, obviously. But if that's going to be the holdup for getting a player like Matthew Tkachuk, that's stupid. That's stupid. And a trade like that, Kyrou Perunovic, first, second. I mean, I'd agree to that. Maybe a little much, but like I said, you're competing with, you know, five or six other genuine teams who are genuinely interested. Maybe it's a bit much. Oh, well.
Yeah, I mean, and you also have to look at the positioning of those draft picks as well. I mean, a first-round pick from the Blues is not the same as a first-round draft pick from, say, New Jersey or Ottawa. So that's the other piece that Calgary is going to have to weigh as well. And just throwing out, you threw out the fact that Tkachuk and Kyrou were just basically about a year apart. So, yeah, take into account maybe, let's just say, 75 games that Kyrou could add into his career at this point. Do you know how many games that Jordan Kyrou has played and how many games Matthew Tkachuk has played? Just off the top of your head, if you don't know.
Tkachuk, I'm going to guess it's around... Jordan Kyrou's played around 130.
173,
okay. Yep. Matthew Tkachuk has played... I'm going to say about... probably just shy of 300.
431 games.
Wow. Okay. I was way off.
There's that. So that's just a guy that's 1 year older is mm-hmm. played that many more games. And like I said, even if you add another 75 to what Jordan Kyrou could have had, so that's another, somewhere around 240, something like that. Mm-hmm. Point wise, Jordan Kyrou, 122 points, 46 goals, 76 assists. Matthew Tkachuk
is like
382.
Yeah.
152 goals, 230 assists. And now granted, different routes that they've gotten there. Obviously, games played are different. Teams that they played on are different. But if you're going to sit there and whine about trading away Jordan Kyrou, and this is not to say I will not be a fan of Jordan Kyrou if they don't trade him and he stays with the team and I hope the best and really want to see him play well. But and this is going to be the same argument I'm going to have for Juan Soto a little bit later. You're complaining about the upside and potential of guys on this team versus a guy that is proven, not just for 1 year, for multiple years that he can do this. I mean, just running down his stats outside of the 2020-2021 season, Matthew Tkachuk had, outside of his rookie year too. So two of his six seasons, he has scored less than 16 goals, but he's been in double digits every year. Outside of that, 24, 34, 23, and then his big year last year, 42 goals. So he is a perennial, at least 25-goal scorer in this league. Jordan Kyrou, in his career, he scored 25-plus goals once, and that was last year. Once again, you got to take that aside. He's still growing, still coming into what he's doing.
Yes.
But you have a guy in Tkachuk that is proven for multiple years. And you're going to complain about giving away the upside of Jordan Kyrou or Jake Neighbors or Zachary Bolduc. I think those two have very, very good potential. I saw Zachary Bolduc a couple weeks ago at the prospect camp. Dude looks legit. He's going to be amazing for this
team. He's such a stud.
But
65 goals in any league is ridiculous.
You're still trading potential for what's going on right now. And Tkachuk is still young. That's the thing. If you were talking about a guy that was nearing 30, yeah, I'd say, okay, maybe I would prioritize potential and what we're seeing is growth versus a guy that's 30 plus. Matthew mm-hmm. Tkachuk is not 30 plus. He's right there. He's a year older than Jordan Kyrou. So year older, yes, 1 year of wear and tear, but look at what he's done. So yes, fan favorites, they're going to get traded. You're going to feel bad. But if the deal makes sense and you're getting a proven guy like Matthew Tkachuk in here, go for it. Yes. And I'll let you respond before I tell you about what I think the negative side could be. But go ahead and respond to that.
The main thing, like, right, you hit it on the head. It's a dumb thing. If you're going to be hung up on the potential that, because Kyrou, he's a good player. We've seen him for his entire career. There's a reason why he went in the second round. And that big reason is because for 15-20 game stretches, he vanishes. He just does. He's a great player, but that's what ends up happening. He'll have, you know, a 20-game stretch. Well, he'll have 40 points, and then he'll have a 20-game stretch where he has like 10. You know, still a good scorer, but at the same time, that's a big reason why. So Matthew Tkachuk doesn't have those, at least to my knowledge. He doesn't have those, right? He's a proven NHLer. He has over 2.5 times the game experience, right? He's proven himself. He's not that much older, right? He had 105 points last year. He played on one of the best lines in hockey, but still 105 points. That's no accident, right? You know, this is a player that, you know, could bring that kind of stuff. The reason why I love Pat Maroon so much is because he gets the dirty areas. He's physical and he could score a cool goal every once in a while, right?
Yeah.
Saw that happen in 2019 playoffs, right? Matthew Tkachuk will do that times 10. He's a more physical player, right? I love Pat Maroon to death. The fans are going to absolutely adore Matt Tkachuk. And to be hung up on that for a player who you can't even guarantee will A, stay healthy, or B, be a consistent scorer is something stupid to be hung up on, if I'm being, you know, perfectly honest.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And it's something that the Blues have been missing since Pat Maroon left, is a guy that will get into the dirty areas, that will, you know, go after the puck, go to the front of the net, be like that. I think an Alexei Toropchenko is a guy that is in that mold. And unfortunately, he's out until at least December with shoulder surgery, which Russians and solar surgeries in the Blues makes me a little skittish. But I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. But Matthew Tkachuk does that. But here's the negative piece, and the piece that I hope to God does not happen if he does come here. But it's something you have to think about, okay? Blues fans have been wanting this guy forever.
Yes.
He grew up in the city.
Yes.
His dad was a star here.
Yes.
All of potential pressure is on him in St. Louis. He has to produce. And that is a lot. And if he comes here and does not start off very well, I'm not going to sit there and say the fans are going to boo him and wish the trade was never made. But there's going to be a lot that is going to be on him to show why he deserved to be traded here and potentially sign a long-term extension. And that is something that is tough for a guy that comes back home to his city. I mean, look what happened to Tavares up in Toronto. Not saying he's played poorly, but he went back home, and it's not
that's great. A contract. That is a contract. That's all we're going to say.
But, I mean, it is. So I'm not worried about it in that sense. I think, you know, honestly, Keith will not let that happen in a sense, but it is something that you have to worry about and think about.
Berube won't let that happen. You kidding me?
I'm pretty sure Keith Tkachuk, if he brings in Matthew, Tkachuk will probably sign a piece of paper saying, Craig, do whatever the hell you want to make sure he produces. He wouldn't care less. Because, I mean, what? Tkachuk came in like double his size after the lockout, and he almost got let loose. So I think he understands how important it is to play well here in St. Louis. And the fact that it's the city that he was born in or grew up in, essentially, it's pressure for sure. But I think he could probably handle it.
I think he's an NHL player. I have almost no doubt in my mind he can't handle it. The way I understand that angle, that's something that I haven't really heard before. It's very interesting. The main thing is, A, he's going to be getting that hometown love right off the bat. He's going to have a lot more leniency than Justin Falk had his first year here, right? You know, he's going to, like, if he has an off, you know, whatever games, whatever. Like it doesn't really matter. An off year for Brady or an off year for Matthew Tkachuk is what Pavel Buchnevich is doing right now. And we love Pavel Buchnevich, right? So I think the angle you kind of have to come off of it is this. It obviously depends on what assets you give up to Calgary, right? Unless Jordan Kyrou has an absolutely stellar year in Calgary, I don't think fans are going to care that much. You know?
Yeah, oh no. I think once the trade does happen, if it does happen, you'll have about a week or so of people being up in arms, and then they'll realize that Matthew Tkachuk is here, and they're going to get to see all these beautiful between the legs, no look goals and everything that comes with Matthew Tkachuk. And if you haven't seen the renderings and the mock-ups of him, and especially the clown jersey, I mean, come on, it makes sense.
Oh, man. It looks so good.
God, it's so good.
Now the question would be, though, is if he does get traded here, and there it is. It looks so sweet. Holy if he gets man. Traded here, yeah, are you man. Buying a Blues jersey with Tkachuk on the
back? Yes!
Even with the jersey curse.
No hesitation. Absolutely no hesitation. And if he's straight, I swear, if Doug trades him, if I get the jersey and Doug trades him, I'm becoming a Calgary fan. I don't That's really
fine. care. That's fine. Burn all the jerseys at that point.
I will never go so far as to burn a jersey. But yes.
Oh yeah, no. I spend way too much money on these things to burn them.
No.
They may go into the closet, but they're not going to get burned. But so we've talked a lot about the Blues. There are a couple other teams out there that are vying for Tkachuk's services, and teams that do have a legitimate chance at really getting, making a good run at it. New Jersey.
And before you continue, okay, Vegas does not have a legit chance, right?
No, Let's Vegas get that isn't straight. Even on my list.
Let's get that because fans are like, Vegas fans have already hopped on this, right? They're already like, yes, Kachuk coming to Vegas. Like, yeah, what are you going to give up for if you don't have any prospects? It's like, Jack Eichel. It's like, yeah. Okay.
How loved do Vegas players feel when they get traded their 1 year and then they're the star package of the next Vegas. Year's trade?
Like, it's Vegas. That's just how they are down there. It's okay, though.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Well, yeah, because, I mean, they just shipped out Max Pacioretty. I mean, you know the whole Marc-Andre Fleury thing. Carolina, man. Come on.
Here's a hot take. If Calgary had jumped on that Max Pacioretty train, I bet the Gaudreau and Kachuk stay.
I could see that being the case. Yeah. Yeah. I think Patches is a guy that people want to play with, and it would have shown that Calgary was committed to winning. But I think the Gaudreau leaving was the final straw for mm-hmm. Kachuk, especially Absolutely. Because he would have been the only guy up there in a sense. And I mean, honestly, Johnny Gaudreau had been on the outs with Calgary for the last couple of years. So I'm not actually surprised that
Me neither.
He tested it. A little surprised that he signed in Columbus.
Everybody's surprised he signed in Columbus, but right. I mean, who knows? Maybe he knows something about Columbus we don't, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, hey, Columbus could be, they are an up and coming team. They got some good goaltending, obviously. Mm-hmm. They obviously can hang their hat on the fact that they beat Tampa and swept them a couple of years ago in the Blues Legend. Won the Cup. So there is that, but they're not in this whole Kachuk sweepstakes. The Devils are, the Islanders are, those two teams are high up there. Throwing out the Rangers and the Senators as well.
I think Florida's got a shot.
See, and Florida was another one that was out there. Here's your dark horse candidate right here. You ready? Uh-oh. Your dark horse candidate for Matthew Kachuk.
Hang on. Let me guess. What division?
Well, they're the Eastern Conference.
Eastern Conference.
It's I can never remember who's in the Metro and who's in the Atlantic. let me just quickly check. They are in the Atlantic.
Atlantic Division.
And they actually surprisingly had a halfway decent season last year for a team that no one apparently wanted to play for. Take a guess.
Atlantic Division. I'm going to say probably not Carolina.
No. That would be – well, they're in the Metropolitan anyway. Like I said, I can never get him right. I can never.
Oh, gosh. Which one? Washington?
No. We just talked about a player that used to play for him.
Oh, I don't know.
Got traded this past year. Buffalo.
Nah, no way.
Buffalo has the prospects. Buffalo has the money. Buffalo has.
Buffalo doesn't have the, hey, Kachuk, come play for fucking Buffalo, you know?
I'm just saying, if Calgary is trying to get what they want, Buffalo is a team that you can look at and say they've got the draft picks, they've got the prospects, they've got a couple of NHL-level-ready guys right now. If it's all about just getting Kachuk the hell out of Calgary, Buffalo can put a very compelling package together. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It is not going to happen. But if it does,
potential.
If it does, mark it down right here that we call Buffalo picking up Matthew Kachuk.
Only on Toasted Tavern.
Only on Toasted Tavern. And Rodney Hale chimes in. Basically, the main reason that Gaudreau went to Columbus, his wife's a medical nurse in Columbus, so he is a little bit closer to home. It makes things a lot easier. And the work that she does is far more important than anything that any hockey player or anybody in the sporting industry really does. Being a medical nurse is a big, big, big job and something that deserves a lot more credit and attention that sometimes it doesn't get. So the fact that he moved to a team that maybe isn't going to be super competitive right off the bat, but it's because he's going to try and stay closer to home, make sure his wife doesn't have to move and change jobs. That's another big, big piece. And good on Johnny Gaudreau as well, because he looked at it and goes, okay, this is the right – it makes sense. I'm going to make a lot of good money. My wife can still do what she's doing at the hospital that she's at, and we're all good to go. So congratulations on Gaudreau for that.
Yeah, by all means, no objections here.
Scott is with us now. We just spent 35 minutes talking about Matthew Tkachuk and the fact that he's going to the Buffalo Sabres.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's my reaction.
I was going to ask what you guys were talking about. There's not a whole lot going on in St. Louis sports or any news or anything, man. I figured you were just like chit-chatting and stuff. So.
We were catching up. You know, we haven't seen each other in forever, it feels like. But no,
we messaged, but we haven't talked. Not even on a call since I've been in St. Louis.
No, I've been ignoring everybody.
Confirm that I'm tall for me because people seem to think I'm 5'9".
Mason is tall. He really is a tall individual, so don't discredit him. It doesn't matter that he was standing three steps ahead above me at the time I met him. He's still pretty tall.
I was three steps below you, and I was still looking over you.
Yes, he was. So Scott, I want to get your thoughts on this because this could potentially be the biggest set of deals in St. Louis history. And yes, that's including the Wayne Gretzky and Brett Hull trades. It's including the Mark McGwire trade. We haven't talked about Soto yet, but kind of give us your thoughts on what you've heard about Matthew Tkachuk, what it could mean for him for the St. Louis Blues, and what you think they may have to give up in order for that to happen.
I mean, you're right. The Tkachuk thing would be huge for the Blues. It would probably be right up there with the Gretzky trade. I mean, this is something that St. Louis fans have been talking about for a couple of years. It's kind of like the Nolan Arenado hype before the trade happened with the Cardinals. You know, if Matthew Tkachuk comes to the Blues, it's going to be huge. I mean, Blues fans will go crazy. You know, they'll be planning parades as soon as he lands in St. Louis. There'll probably be like thousands of people at the airport waiting for it. But you know, like you said, it's going to be exciting and everybody's excited, but that trade's going to hurt in one way or another because you're going to have to give up some decent pieces. What have you guys been talking about? I mean, who do you guys think? Because I'm hearing all kinds of different names thrown around. What have you guys been talking about? Who do you think is in this deal?
Names have been – I mean, we've actually thrown out a bunch of different names as well. Mason put out one that I hadn't heard yet, and it was more so built around draft picks than anything else. Kyrou,
I think Perunovic is the deal then. A second to Sweeten.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Kyrou seems like, you know, that he's the name that everybody thinks, although I've heard Pavel Bochnevich's name thrown around a few times today.
Can't touch Booch. I won't let them. I will single-handedly stop him at the airport. He cannot leave.
Yeah, throw yourself in front of the plane. No!
You haven't bought a Bochnevich jersey yet.
Grab onto the window as it's like 30,000 feet in the air.
Liar, liar! If you want to see liar. That's right from Liar, Liar. You haven't bought a Bochnevich jersey yet, right?
Not yet, and I'm not going to until I can get some assurances from Doug Armstrong himself.
We've kind of started the segment off, and he was like, hey, throw out some of the names that you've been hearing about this Tkachuk trade. And I started – it was three names. Every name, he pulled out a jersey. Krug, Kyrou, Tarasenko. He pulls out the Scandella jersey. So it's, you know, we're not going to let Mason buy any jerseys with names on it anytime
soon. Don't let me. Like, SDL Authentic should just blacklist my IP.
But we were also talking about the fact that, you know, Tarasenko is probably not going to be a guy that's involved in this trade. And you're going to have to eventually trade him somewhere else probably to clear that money off the books. But there is a bit of time for that to happen, because you can, as Mason mentioned earlier, you could be over the salary cap up until the first game. So there's still time for that to happen. They're not mutually exclusive. We were also talking about the fact that if you can get this deal done without giving up a Jake Neighbors or a Zach Boldick, all of a sudden you're in a very, very good position, not only by getting rid of Tarasenko's salary and him not having to sign next year. If you're trading Jordan Kyrou, you're not worrying about re-signing him next year, but it also opens up the possibility that you don't have to re-sign Ryan O'Reilly next year. You install Matthew Tkachuk as your captain. All of a sudden, you don't have to worry about signing a large contract for O'Reilly as well. And then Matthew Tkachuk is your captain. What are your thoughts on Tkachuk coming here to St. Louis as the captain and then Ryan O'Reilly essentially being shown the door? It's happened. We've seen it multiple times with the Blues here. David Perron's a perfect example.
I mean, we kind of talked about this the other night. I think Blues fans need to kind of brace themselves for that fact because we know that Army doesn't get emotional with these kind of moves. So as big as Ryan O'Reilly's been for the Blues in the city of St. Louis, that's not going to come into play when that contract negotiation comes up. So I think Ryan O'Reilly being gone after next year is definitely something that Blues fans need to start preparing themselves for. You know, going back to the trade, do you think it's possible, you know, we don't think Tarasenko would go to Calgary. Maybe it's a three-team trade. Maybe exactly. He goes somewhere else to clear that money, and that's part of that deal that way, possibly. You know, that's something I've heard, too.
And that also might open up the fact that you may not have to trade some of your guys as well. If you work out a deal with, like, the Islanders or somebody else to where maybe one of their top guys is going to Calgary, yeah, you may have to send a guy from your team to the Islanders or something like that, but maybe it's not the guys that you're not wanting to part with. So the option for a three-team trade is definitely out there. You mentioned, Mason, that there's a Scandella trade potentially in the works as well. So maybe that's a piece that you have to look at potentially working out as well. So there's a lot in play here.
Yeah, it's going to cost you more, obviously, if you're working out a three-way trade, but you're also going to get more back, you know? So you got to, you know, kind of think about that. Maybe if you're doing a three-way, you can get another kind of depth defenseman from either the Islanders or the Flames. You know, you just never know. I think Valimaki is a guy that I'm looking at. He's a young guy. He's not making a lot on the cap. He can take up second and third line minutes. And the thing I like about him the most is that, one, he's got a positive plus-minus, but the other thing is that he can play both the right and the left.
And that's something the Blues have utilized, especially throughout the last couple of years. I mean, you look at their defensive core, you know, they're going to have actually four left-handed defensemen out there as far as Krug, Letty, Scandella, and Mikkola. And then you got the right-handers in Falk, Parayko, and Bortuzzo. So that's the piece, though. If you're looking to trade, you're going to probably have to move one of these defensemen as well if you're going to bring in a cheaper version. We talked about this on Monday night as well, with the fact that Blues have three defensemen making $6.5 million for at least the next 5 years. So if you're able to clear some of that salary, that'd be a huge boost for this team going into the next couple of years, because I always thought it was odd that they had 6-7 defensemen signed for multiple years, and it makes things a lot harder for sure.
Yeah, the main caveat behind that, I don't know if you know, but in about 5 or 6 years, the cap's going to go up $10 million. So this has been a confirmed thing. This has been a relatively confirmed thing. So I think those contracts, those were like big worrisome contracts. Like, oh my God, we're paying, you know, Krug $6.5 million until he's 35. We're paying Parayko that until he's 36. We're paying Falk that until he's 34, you know? So obviously they're concerns, but at the same time, you know, if the cap's going up by that much, is it really going to matter? And yeah. I mean, obviously it will, but
contracts,
you know,
may look better
not that much
in 3 or 4 years.
It looks better on a $95 million salary cap than it does an $80 million salary cap, you know?
Very, very, very true. All right. We've talked enough about Matthew Tkachuk.
Yes.
By the time we reconvene next week, he'll be in the Blues uniform. All will be happy. The parade will have taken
you place. Jinxed it.
Yeah, it's all going to happen. Now we got to talk about the other guy, the other superstar that's likely coming to St. Louis, Juan Soto, okay? Juan Soto in a Cardinals uniform. Last week when this stuff started to kind of percolate, my first reaction was, hell no, we don't need it. We got to worry about our pitching, blah, 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 blah. I was a typical St. Louis Cardinal fan. I really, really was. And over the last week, especially after seeing him in the Home Run Derby and everything that he's kind of – that's gone on since then, I want Juan Soto as a Cardinal. I know Scott's going to probably ream me like no other. But
he's got that look right now. He's like, oh, wags.
Juan Soto – think about it. You could have – a 2-3-4 of Goldschmidt, Soto, and Nolan Arenado. And oh my gosh, who wants to pitch to that? I mean, it could be the newest rendition of the late 90s Bronx Bombers. I mean, you could have a legitimate lineup that scares people. And yes, the pitching is a concern. There is that piece that we'll have to see. But if you're going to start putting up 9, 10, 12 runs a game because of the lineup you have, I think I can maybe live with the pitching staff that we have right now. There's still a ton of stuff to go, but Scott, you're going to go through this not real quick, but you need to break this down. Juan Soto, is he going to be a Cardinal? Do you want him as a Cardinal? Come on. Tell me I'm not crazy.
You know, a couple of days ago, I said, absolutely not. I don't want to make this trade. Don't need him. Let's not do this. Don't give up your future. I've softened a little bit. Like you said, I can see him. You put him in the middle of that lineup with Goldie and Arenado. You've got the best 2-3-4 or 3-4-5, however you want to do it, in baseball. You just do. You know, you can start to compare it to the MV3 team in 2004 of Albert, Jimmy, and Scotty Rowland. They would be dangerous. They absolutely would. The question is, are you willing to mortgage the next decade of Cardinal baseball and winning for the chance to win for the next couple of years if you're not able to know that you're going to sign Juan Soto? And there's no way that you're going to know that, because Scott Boras is not going to let him sign an extension. Boras is going to get him to free agency in a couple of years and try to get the money, the most money possible. So, you know, it's a huge gamble. You know, it comes down to, what do you have to give up? What are you willing to give up? And how much do you believe that if you bring in Juan Soto right now, this team can make a World Series run? And, you know, that's something that John Mozeliak's not real big on gambling on things like this, as we all know. The thing that makes me really interested, and I messaged you this the other night, Wags, they were talking about Juan Soto, and they were talking about the Cardinals and what they needed to do at the trade deadline on the news. And instead of talking to John Mozeliak, who usually jumps in front, you know, and kind of, we're good, we'll get our people back, and that's how we improve ourselves. They actually went to Bill DeWitt III, who basically said, we want the storybook ending. We want Yadi and Waino and Albert to go out on top. Nobody wants to end this with a crash and burn and, you know, let's talk about next year. We want to do whatever we have to do to win. And when you hear him say that, it's like, oh, wow, okay. We haven't heard Cardinal ownership come out and make those kind of statements in probably 10 years, honestly. You know, you go back to Matt Holliday, maybe in 09, somewhere around there. It was the last time we heard those kind of statements coming from the Cardinals. And then you start thinking about it. And remember a couple of weeks ago when we heard that the Cardinals were talking to the Nationals about a potential trade, you know, and everybody's like, oh, they're looking at a bench bat or something. Maybe they were reaching out to see about Juan Soto. Maybe they looked around and said, okay, we need to make a run at this thing. We need to try to go out. We need to try to send Albert and Yadi and Waino out the right way. You know, we've got Goldie having an MVP season. Nolan's in his prime. How do we do that? And there's not a superstar pitcher that we're going to be able to really go get at the trade deadline, because there's really not anybody that's a superstar pitcher available. So then you start looking and you go, okay, when the Cardinals have made big trades at the trade deadline, it's been for a young superstar that's about to hit their prime or is in the middle of their prime, and that you think you can go out and get and really make this team better. I mean, you can go all the way back to 97 and Mark McGwire, Jim Edmonds, Scott Rowland, you know, Edgar Renteria, all of those guys. You know, that's what the Cardinals did. And so maybe they're looking around going, okay, and you can throw Goldie and Arenado in the last couple of years. You're looking around going, okay, we can go get Juan Soto. We can bring him to St. Louis. You know, we can play him for a couple of years. We can see what happens. And maybe he does fall in love with St. Louis. You know, and like I said, you know, his agent's not going to be real willing to let him sign a long-term contract now. But, you know, we said the same thing about Matt Holliday, because had the same agent, you know, and everybody said, okay, Matt Holliday is not going to stay in St. Louis. He's going to go, you know, he's going to go sign for the biggest money. So maybe Soto does. Maybe he, you know, talks to Albert, which, you know, apparently him and Albert had quite a few conversations about St. Louis during the All-Star break, you know, and he knows Yadi, you know, he knows some of these guys. So maybe he does. Maybe he comes in and realizes this is where he wants to be. And, you know, Boras does have connections with the Cardinals. People forget, a lot of people don't know this, Scott Boras actually played in the minor leagues for the Cardinals. And he has a relationship with Bill DeWitt. They actually get along pretty well. So, you know, maybe it would work in the favor of the Cardinals to do that. But again, it comes back to, what do you have to give up? You know, I'm not willing to give up Jordan Walker. I'm just really not. If it's Jordan Walker, I'm saying no, sorry. You know, he could be the next Juan Soto that you know you have control of for the next 6 or 7 years. You know, I've seen all kinds of different trade proposals in the last couple of days that have the Cardinals linked to it. So what are you guys thinking? I know, Wags, I know you said you jumped on board and you're all in on Juan Soto. Would you trade Jordan Walker? What would you do? What would you be willing to give up to make that happen?
It's a great question, and Mason and I were talking about this exact thing with Tkachuk. It's about, you know, where are you at as far as trading potential for actual production that you've seen over the course of multiple years. And, you know, in the case of Tkachuk, we both kind of agreed that you got to go with the production. And the fact that Juan Soto is only 23 and he's consistent makes me sit there and I'm willing to give a little bit more.
How common is that is what you got to think of.
Exactly. And you got to give a, you do have to give a little bit more than what you probably want to get a guy like him. I think I'm in your boat a little bit is I don't necessarily want to give up Jordan Walker because obviously he's your number one overall prospect. He's actually the heir apparent to Nolan Arenado. All those things are a piece of it. But because the Patrick Corbin piece is coming into this as well, that's going to drive the price down for the Nationals because, you know, they want you to take on this massive contract for Patrick Corbin. So that almost, in my mind, takes Jordan Walker out of the equation because if the Cardinals are going to sit there and say, okay, we'll take on Patrick Corbin, but Jordan Walker's a non-starter. If you want Walker and you want us to take both these guys, sorry, we're walking away. So I'm almost sitting there going, okay, the names that have been bandied about are guys like Dylan Carlson and Juan Yepes. And, you know, you've got Matthew Liberatore, Mason Winn, another one, Alec Burleson, Michael McGreevy. All these guys are out there being put out there. I'd almost sit there and go, as much as I like Dylan Carlson, as much as I think he could be very, very good here for St. Louis, I think if he's the centerpiece of that trade, I think you do it. I think if you go, if it's Carlson, Winn, McGreevy, and somebody else, not named Matthew Liberatore, I do it. I think you do have to go high, and yeah, you're going to lose some top prospects, but the reason that you have one of the best farm systems in the league is to make a trade like this. It's a once-in-a-generational talent. This is a guy that is pretty much one of the best 23-year-old hitters ever. I mean, if you look at some of his statistics, he's top 10 with guys like Albert and Barry and Babe Ruth and all these guys. And yeah, he turned down a large contract extension from the Nationals. And yes, Scott Boras is his agent. But man, even if you have him for 2.5 years, you're putting that 2.5 years against potential of guys for the most part that have not been at the major league level. And I will take that outside of Jordan Walker.
Well, and again, you know, if you can make that trade and you can get him for two, even if you have him for 2.5 years, but you don't have to give up Nolan Gorman, you don't have to give up Jordan Walker. If you can do that and keep both of those guys, then that doesn't hurt as bad if you do have to give up Juan Soto. You know, and you can look at it and say, you know, maybe the Cardinals could afford Soto in a couple of years because Goldie's contract will be – Soto becomes a free agent the same year that Goldie becomes a free agent. You know, so do you re-sign Goldie? You're not going to sign Goldie to the contract that he was making. So maybe you make that work. There's a lot of ways you make that work. You know, and I'm with you. I'd hate to trade Dylan Carlson, but the fact that you have Alec Burleson in the minor leagues and he's ready kind of lightens that a little bit as well because you've got another power-hitting young outfielder coming. You've got Joshua Baez down there who's another really highly recruited outfielder that's coming. And Jordan Walker is going to have to play the outfield because he's not playing third and he's not playing first. And, you know, Yepes is probably your DH unless Yepes is part of that trade. So, I mean, you've got so many talented young players. You can make this work and it not hurt if you don't have to give up those top two. As far as I'm concerned, I don't want to give up Gorman or Walker. You know, those are the two guys that I say, no, I'm walking away. And it's interesting with the pitching thing. You brought up Matthew Liberatore. His name's not the one you're hearing. It's the Michael McCreary thing that is kind of surprising that that's the pitcher that keeps getting thrown out there.
Well, and everybody rates people in systems differently too. So they may have McGreevy rated higher than a Matthew Liberatore at this point, which he may fit their scheme or their mold or their pitching staff better than a Liberatore could. So, I mean, that makes sense as well. And Mason, I kind of want to throw it to you because you're kind of a new Cardinal fan in a sense. You're still kind of getting into baseball and
on the fence.
Exactly. I mean, so you're kind of on this piece where you're like, okay, I don't have the long-standing fandom of the Cardinals, but I have been a Blues fan, so I know what all that is about and how St. Louis fans are. we're talking about two generational type of guys potentially coming to St. Louis, and you look at it and you go, okay, one may happen, both may happen. Is this an arms race between John Mozeliak and Doug Armstrong? Not for their teams, but for the fans and their money.
I don't know about that. I think, you know, I think for the most part, I mean, the two have a great relationship. You know, both teams do very well in a city like St. Louis. I know what the fans are like. I know how much, you know, both of these potential deals would mean to the city. You know, I guess I'm a Missourian born in a Utah guy's body, I guess. That's how I put it, you know. So I know, like, a lot of my friends are in the St. Louis area, Illinois area, you know, because I'm not a social butterfly. I only talk to people on a computer, right? So, but I know how much that would mean to this city. I know, you know, just the last two times, and this is no knock on St. Louis as a city. Let's get this straight before I continue. Whenever I've been there, it's a ghost town. You know, people don't hang around downtown. So that's why I think sports means so much, is because it connects people from all sorts of different areas around the Midwest, and they come together and they support their Cardinals. They support their Blues. What's the Cardinals capacity? 45,000?
Roughly,
somewhere,
yeah.
Around there? Roughly 45,000?
Scott's the expert on this.
What's the capacity that they usually sell their games at?
Yeah, it's 46,675 is sellout. So, yeah.
So, and they get pretty close to sellout usually on most nights.
Yep.
Enterprise Center has been one of the most filled stadiums in the NHL. They had a sellout streak for, I think it was like 15 years or something like that. These guys love their sports teams. I know Cardinals fans travel really well when it comes to going to other teams' arenas. Blues fans travel really well. I don't know if you guys saw my Arizona vlog, but oh my gosh, 60% of that arena was Blues fans, and that is not even an exaggeration. Oh, and that was the second to last game at Gila River Arena for the Coyotes. So
when they play down in the new arena, it's going to be full of Blues fans.
Well, you can take that as a Blue fans travel well, or there's no such thing as a Yotes fan. You can kind of take your pick there. But I know how much something like that would mean to the city. I know how much that would mean to the fans. One of my favorite videos to look back on is if the Blues get their butts kicked in, that kind of thing, heads cut off. What I like to watch is the downtown reaction to the Blues Cup win. I wish I was there. I wish I could have been there so freaking bad. Next time the Blues are in the final, if it's a clinching game, I'm going to be downtown St. Louis. That is not an exaggeration. I want to be around that atmosphere because it just means so much, you know? So if we're talking like once, obviously I'm not a huge baseball fan. I like the Mariners, I like the Cardinals. I'm kind of on the fence flip-flopping between the two. I think I've watched like 20 Cardinals games this year or something like that. But I don't know exactly how – I know Juan Soto's a very, very good player. I know that it's going to be a generational talent. I don't know how he compares to Matthew Tkachuk in their respective sports. Probably about the same, right? Maybe Soto a little bit more.
That's a good question, actually.
Would Juan Soto go down as one of the biggest trades in Cardinals history?
Oh.
I know the Cardinals are a very, very long-standing franchise, but wouldn't.
It would depend on how long he was here and if they won or not. You know, if he comes in and even
he's here for 7 years.
Yeah, if he's here for 7 years and they win a World Series or two, then he would be in the top five. I mean, there's a lot of big, big Cardinal trades that it's hard for him to crack. But he would be in that top 5 to 10 trades of all time, definitely.
And how long have the Cardinals been a franchise? Since 1920?
1892.
Yeah. A top 5 trade in that long of a history.
Well, you got to remember,
Matthew Tkachuk I'm arguing Matthew Tkachuk would be the biggest trade in Blues history. I don't think it's even close.
You got to remember, so for maybe half of that
if the great
time
one stayed a little longer, I'd argue that. But he was only here for 20 games plus a shitty playoff. So it was like, can't say that was good. If he retired a Blue, maybe it's a different story. But
I still don't think. Yeah, I mean, you look
Tkachuk
at it.
Tkachuk would be the biggest trade. Not even close.
I think Tkachuk is still. I mean,
I even put Ryan O'Reilly's trade above great ones.
Yeah. What about Brett Hull, though? What about Brett Hull?
Brett Hull, no. I don't think. Well, O'Reilly is not better than Brett Hull's trade.
But you can see Tkachuk being better than Brett Hull.
I could see Kachuk being better than, well, 86 yeah, goals in a year. 86 goals in a year, hard to beat.
It really comes down to how you quantify what is the best trade, because
any kind of lift in a way.
If you look at it as, you know, if you base it off of, you know, championships and length of time here, many different trades could be up where they may not deserve. Or if you're talking about what kind of talent is coming in and what kind of talent you lose, that could be another. It really comes down to how you quantify what you can describe as the best trade possible. But I think you nailed it on the head earlier when you said that this could be the biggest summer in St. Louis sports that we've ever experienced. And I don't think anybody would be wrong in saying that if both these trades do go down, because you're talking about not just one superstar coming to St. Louis, it's two superstars in two different sports coming to this town to potentially try and win some championships. And yes, one of them coming is a homecoming. The other one could be basically passing the guard from Albert Pujols to a Juan Soto. And yeah, the history isn't there with a Juan Soto, and Albert's only back for this year after being away for 10, but there's still something there. There's still some of that magic there. And if Soto's here in St. Louis, all of a sudden that devil magic that the Cardinals produce is going to be everywhere, and every town in America is going to hate apologies, St. Louis guys, even more.
Internet issues. Sorry about that. So,
yeah, but I mean, yeah, like you said, if Soto would come to St. Louis, you know, I mean, that would be huge. You know, you compare the two. If you get Soto and Kachuk in the same year, that would be pretty much like in the late 90s when McGuire and Gretzky were pretty much both came to St. Louis. There were only a few months separation between the two of them both coming to St. Louis.
It would be
right up there in that same vein.
This would be between these two teams. This, like, you know, two big trades for two different franchises in the same city within like a month or two. That's one thing. Having to be like, this is very likely it's within the same week. You know, I mean, maybe right. Even the same day.
The conversations are going on simultaneously. Conversations are going on simultaneously. I mean,
how crazy is that?
It's insane. I don't think I honestly can't think of any other time that we've seen something like this, not just here in St. Louis, but in general. And Rodney chimes in. Matthew's a top 25 player in the NHL, and Soto is a top 3 player in Major League Baseball.
I'd put Kachuk higher than that.
Well, we'll definitely have to rank our top NHL players on a different show.
That'd be pretty fun.
It would be. It would be a lot of fun. Same thing with Major League Baseball. But you're still talking about one top 25 player and one top 5 player all coming to one town for two different sports in the same week. I've never seen that happen in any other time frame that I've been alive for any city or any team.
Well, and here's a good question for you. And I know we talked a little bit about how they're friends and they get along. But if Army pulls the Matthew Kachuk trade off, and that happens right away, how much pressure does that put on?
You get a lot of pressure. Yep, that's the other thing.
You know, because Mo's already getting slammed in St. Louis, and his his approval rating is like 10. You know, if Army pulls that trade off and Mo sits on his hands and does nothing, I mean –
The other incentive that's on Doug Armstrong's shoulders, people immediately forget about Perron.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. So you got to keep that in mind, because I'm pretty pissed off at him at this moment that he let Perron go.
Then here's – I don't want to end on a negative tone, so we'll definitely end on a positive tone after this. But here's the flip side of the coin, okay? We're all, woo, these guys are coming here. It's going to be a great summer in St. Louis.
Watch none of it happen.
What if neither one of these trades happens? Okay. Where do the Blues sit and where do the Cardinals sit? The Blues are sitting in an okay spot without Matthew Kachuk, especially if they don't trade Tarasenko. They've got essentially the same team minus Perron. Maybe they go out and sign another depth winger or what have you. Or maybe Jake Neighbors is up here. Jake Neighbors will be with this team. Forget I said that. Jake Neighbors is going to be on this team next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're okay. The Cardinals are okay as well, half game out of first place before the second half of the season starts. Yes, they will have to go out probably and make a move or two at the deadline as well. But will we see fans' faith plummet in one or both franchises if neither of these trades happen?
I don't know about that. And the reason I say no is because obviously every single team in the MLB could use a Juan Soto. Every single NHL team can use a guy like Matt Tkachuk, right? There's, you know, you put the odds, you know, more or less, you know, depending on what team you're talking about. But if you're talking practically speaking, every team has an equal shot of being in on this conversation, you know, so it really depends who calls, who picks up the phone, if Trevling hangs up on him or whatnot. Like, it doesn't, it really all depends. The Blues would benefit tremendously from a player like Matt Tkachuk. I think we've well established that. But if a deal like that doesn't happen, you got Jordan Kyrou. We love Jordan Kyrou. He's still young. He's still impressionable. And he'll be a valuable player on this team, assuming that a deal doesn't get done, right? He'd be very well. I'll humor that possibility. Stay to the franchise minus the Tarasenko, because I think we all know he's gone. Right. So you're going to be getting assets from him regardless. That's going to kind of round out your core, make it a little less top heavy. But at the same time, you know, this team is already very well rounded to begin with. I don't see how that can be, you know, necessarily a backbreaker for this team going into next season. So regardless of what happens, I think that this team is going to be stronger. I think this team is going to do a lot better. I think the fans obviously are going to be a little disappointed, but, you know, I don't think that the Blues are 100. The nice thing is that if a deal doesn't happen, the Blues aren't screwed. And I think that's something that people need. And I think that's the same with the Cardinals, right? So I think that fans just kind of need to hold on to that mentality.
And Scott?
Yeah, I mean, I think Blues fans would be disappointed because, like we've talked about, you know, the Tkachuk thing, something that fans have thought about and been hoping for and waiting for a couple of years. And they have faith in Army to do it. So I think Blues fans would be more let down. I think Cardinal fans, I don't think the majority of Cardinal fans are like, yeah, right, pipe dream. Mo's never going to make that move. So I think the majority of Cardinal fans don't think there's any chance Soto's coming here because they don't think Mo will actually trade those prospects. So I think Cardinal fans are just like, yeah, okay, whatever. It's not really going to happen. Whereas Blues fans are really high on the fact that Tkachuk's going to be here. They're going to be kind of let down if it doesn't.
I can see that being the case. So I guess the trade proposal put out by Mark DeRosa this afternoon, Scott, you emphatically say no. Dylan Carlson, Jordan Walker, Matthew Liberatore, Mason Wynn, Michael McGreevy. That's an absolute no for Juan Soto.
No, there's no way in hell you make that trade. And like we talked about, you know, it sounds like the Nationals are not moving him unless Corbin's involved. So that kind of takes down that asking price quite a bit right there. So I think DeRosa was a little over his head with that trade proposal.
Mark DeRosa is not all that tall either, so a lot of stuff might just kind of go over his head. I like Mark DeRosa. I think he did great here in St. Louis. Maybe not as well as we expected it to, but he dealt with some injury. We like Mark DeRosa here in St. Louis. He's a good player, and he's a pretty good analyst as well. So that trade proposal out the door. We came on tonight, Scott, and talked a little bit about the fact that these two high-level trade proposals and rumors and all that stuff kind of overshadow just a couple other, you know, really a big news story in sports outside of St. Louis. And I wanted to touch on that before we got out of here, mainly because a friend of the show, Tom Franklin, became a huge fan of this team as an NFL free agent last year.
So
and he also has a little bit of baseball connection as well. The Cardinals and Kyler Murray reportedly have agreed on a 5-year extension, making him the highest paid or one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, $230.5 million, which is an average annual value of $46.1 million. And this is kind of coming on the heels of the offseason circus that was going around earlier when it almost felt like he was trying to push his way out of Arizona. $160 million guaranteed for injury, $105 million fully guaranteed for signing. This is a guy that you look at on the outside and you go, is he really worth this kind of money this early on in his career? He hasn't really shown us a whole lot, but I'll say this before I get your answer. Kyler Murray is the first player in NFL history, and this is from ESPN, with at least 70 passing touchdowns, 20 rushing touchdowns, 3,500 passing yards, 400 rushing yards, and 17 games with a completion percentage of at least 70% in his first three seasons. So take that as you will.
70 pass touchdowns? Holy crap.
70 passing touchdowns. Wow. So take all of that and wrap it up and then go, is he worth $230.5 million and being one of the top paid quarterbacks in the league?
No, not worth it. He's not. I mean, no, I don't think anybody's going to tell you that Kyler Murray's worth that kind of money or he should be one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. But he is a starting quarterback in the league, and that's the going rate for a quarterback. We're talking about Kyler Murray today. In a couple of days, we're going to be talking about Lamar Jackson because he's going to sign it. It's going to be even bigger. And you're going to go, really? Lamar Jackson's getting that kind of money too? You know, it's just a going rate for a starting quarterback. You know, I mean, Kirk Cousins makes, what, $30 million a year? Does Kirk Cousins deserve $30 million a year?
How do you like me now?
Right. You know, I mean, it's just the price you pay for a quarterback and a decent starting quarterback. But no, Kyler Murray doesn't, he's not in that upper echelon at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, and I heard a couple of people say they expected Kyler Murray to be traded from Arizona within the next 2 to 3 years because he won't live up to that contract.
I think I look at it two ways. This is either going to be one of the best contracts ever, assuming that he continues on his upward trajectory. Obviously, I'm kind of with you on that. I can't really see that happening, you know, realistically, especially with this Cardinals team. But at the same time, on the flip side of the coin, this contract's probably going to suck in the last couple of years of it, right? So you kind of got to look at it two ways. There's a lot of ups. He's a young quarterback. Right. It's not often that you break all those records in, you know, your first three seasons. Right. So as long as you continue on that upward trajectory, there's only 16 games in a season. Right. You know, it's not like hockey. It's not like basketball. It's especially not like baseball. You know, if you get injured, you get injured for a long time. That's a big chunk of the season you're missing, you know, and if, especially if that injury comes back to bite you in the ass, that's going to make that contract really, really suck. So you got to look at it both ways there. I don't think it's going to be horrible. But it's the same thing as Kadri going on the open market and making $10 million. You know, he's a good player. Is he worth $10
million? No. Probably not. And you got to remember NFL contracts outside of the guaranteed money. They can cut this guy at any point in time, and they're only out the guaranteed money in a sense. And he does guarantee himself if he does get injured, which is a likelihood because of his playing style, his body type, all of that. He does have the security of having that guaranteed money. The team has the security of being able to cut him at any point in time. And the NFL just prints money. So you look at $230.5 million. That's not what the contract's going to end up being. It's either going to be renegotiated at a later date with more guaranteed money, or he's going to get cut and it's really only going to be $100 million or $200 million or something of that nature. So that's the fun of the NFL. This contracts are not really the contracts that they sign. It's really what they eventually do get paid. And speaking of quarterbacks getting paid, nobody outside of the Cleveland Browns are paying more quarterbacks this year, week one. I mean, they just signed Josh Rosen to be their starting quarterback because they traded Baker Mayfield to Carolina. And guess what? They're going to pay him to start against them in week one. They're paying Deshaun Watson to sit on the sidelines while his legal troubles continue to be worked out. Now they're paying Josh Rosen. They're paying somebody else, I'm sure, Jacoby Brissett or somebody like that. They're going to be paying at least four quarterbacks at least for week one, and Josh Rosen is going to be the guy that's probably going to start for them. Scott, I'm so sorry because you're a Browns fan. Are you doing okay?
I mean, you know, Browns fans are used to it. They're like, oh yeah, it's the Browns. It's Browns ownership. What do you expect? But yeah, the best part of that is they're literally paying Baker to play against them in week one. So that'll be fun. You know, Cleveland's a mess, man. Yeah, they've got a ton of talent on that team, but it's going to be an ugly season.
So why do you cheer for them?
I've been a Browns fan for a while, and it's just
there's an expression, right? I'm sure you've heard it. It's if you're holding on to a rope and you're getting rope burn, is it worth holding on to the rope just because you've been burned for so long?
But if it's all you've known,
right?
How do you know there's something better out there for you?
You're no longer getting rope burn. I think that's the only thing you got to focus on.
Well, don't worry. We only have about 7 more weeks.
It's okay. I'm not a Seahawks fan. I'm coming at you as an ex-Seahawks fan. I've been over this multiple times. I used to be big into football. I used to like football more than hockey. And then the second that the Seahawks didn't run the ball, I'm like, that's it. I'm not watching another Seahawks game. And I haven't. And I still haven't. And I was a fan of that team for 8 years. 8 friggin' years.
Scott's never been a fan of the Seahawks, but that's for a whole other reason.
Anyway.
I'm still kind of a free agent. I told the Bengals on their Twitter account. I said, if you win the Super Bowl, I'll be a Bengals fan. And then I got roasted on Twitter by everyone saying to go fuck myself. So it was like,
I mean, even the Bengals did. They didn't even win the Super Bowl for you.
I know. So I'm like, every football team just disappoints me. It's fine. So I'm like,
but
yeah,
you finally did get the follow. You finally did get the follow by the St. Louis Blues, though.
I got the follow by the Blues. I was followed by the Canes for approximately a week, and then they unfollowed me, and then I'm still followed by the Kings. So,
ouch! The Canes unfollowed you.
I know. I was a little insulted.
Well, yeah, you still got the Blues. You still got the Kings.
I think it's because
we don't have anybody yet. So
I think it's because I roasted them on signing Tony DeAngelo, and they're like, "All right, no more." So I was like, that's fair.
Right, that's a fair roast. That's a fair roast. All right. Well, we've talked your ears off enough tonight. Obviously, the big trades potentially coming down here. Maybe in the next week, we'll see how that plays out. Cardinals are getting ready to get back underway starting
tomorrow
night.
Candles, kids. Light your candles. Draw the pentagram.
Pray
I don't know
Santa.
If Cardinals devil magic is still a thing, but I mean, the Blues could use some of it. Okay, so then the Blues could use some of that. We need to find our own way of doing that. We need to invoke Tony Twist or something like that.
Ooh, we could do something.
Tony Twist,
Tony
devil
Twist.
Magic. Yeah.
Sacrifice the lamb in that yard. Like, whatever, careful. Works. As Seth MacFarlane knows, do not invoke Tony Twist's name without actually getting permission from Tony Twist about using his name.
I will make sure to spam tweet him.
I didn't even know he was on Twitter.
I don't either. I'm gonna look though.
I just go through Jamie Rivers and eventually it'll get to Tony.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm
you're
friends
good.
With Boyer on Twitter, so I'm sure though. Yeah. I'm sure I can get a connection through there.
Of course. Well, Mason, you got anything coming up? I know you said you've kind of been off for a little while, but are you getting anything started up again? You gonna be doing any more videos anytime soon?
Yeah, so when the Blues acquire Matthew Tkachuk, I'm going to be back on the show. That's about it. So,
hey, if it's fodder for us getting people
say,
on,
I did
let's
say
do
I'd
it.
Make a video. If the Blues trade for Matt Tkachuk, I will make a video. That's a promise.
All right. Well, we're going to hold you to that. Scott, anything before we head out tonight?
Nope. Let's just all cross our fingers, say our prayers that we can talk about these trades actually be completed by the time we come back next week.
I'm right there with you on that one. So Cardinals get back underway in Cincinnati tomorrow night, half game out of first place. Hopefully they're able to do a sweep of the Reds and not get rained out on Sunday. We'll see how that plays out. We'll have all of our previews up on that as the weekend goes along. We'll be with you for any of the other news that comes out, not just in the Cardinals and Blues realm, but anything else that pops up in the world of sports, especially here in the Midwest. I want to thank Mason for joining me earlier today to talk about the Tkachuk potential. Scott getting in talking about Juan Soto. We will be back with you guys next week, hopefully a couple of times next week, and maybe with a special guest or two. We'll see. But until then, I am Wags. Thank you guys for joining us. Have a great night and have a great weekend.
Hey, it's you, man, here from Casey. For all your sports news, catch the Toasted Tavern with Scott Tobin and the man called Wags weeknights at 9 p.m. You can follow Toasted Tavern on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Let's get toasted.